Hey guys, this is Danny McDermott from The Danny McDermott Show. If you want to see our show live, it's every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Trust me, you want to see it then. You'll see all the screw-ups. It's great. Our show is an adult show, I must admit, but that's only because we're childish. Most of the guests that we have on the show are my friends, so you can just watch us hang out as buddies. It's fun. Just chill, relax, enjoy. Hey guys, welcome to the Danny McDermott Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We got 15 people. This is great. This is awesome. And I want to thank Angela and Sumner Twins for sponsoring me for this live episodic talk show that I'm going to be doing. This is our first time doing it, so I just want you to know I'm going to screw up. I'm going to screw up a lot. It's going to happen. Okay, but it's the way life is, right? So I know everybody's in quarantine now. I'm so glad things are opening up a little bit here. It's kind of weird that it's 2020 and half of America thinks that hindsight is a hoax. Thank you. Ba-dum-bum. I don't have a drum thing yet. I'm gonna have a drummer at some point doing that for me, or not? Probably not. How can you social distance with a drummer in this tiny space? You can't do it. Oh, this isn't really my house. This is green screen. So, you know, it's pretty awesome. I can just imagine I live in this mansion, and that's what I kind of love. You know, that's what I kind of want to do, you know? So I'm going to look at this and this is also my vision board. So I'm manifesting it with you guys' help. If you share this show, share it. Okay. With that in mind, man, it's been a crazy time. I'm staying with a buddy of mine, Steve White. It's funny because he was my friend's brother. So I just knew him as my brother's friend, right? And I called my friend. I said, hey, can I stay at your place for a little while because I'm driving across the country? I don't know what you guys did, but right before the stay-at-home order, I literally drove across the country to be close to my son because I didn't know what was going to happen. A lot of people thought I was an alarmist, but I was right. And so I came across the country. The thing was, on my way, I called my friend. And I said, I got to stay at your place because I knew he was getting a new place. He goes, I don't have room. So I'm driving. I'm like driving across the country. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just stopping at hotels. I got friends saying, yeah, go to this town next. And they're looking up hotels for me all the way. And I'm like, I'm using paper towels on the gas nozzles and everything. And I'm like, you know, I'm not touching anything. It was crazy. And this was before people were wearing masks. Anyway, so on the way, he goes, call my brother. My brother's got a house. And I'm like, well, I've only hung out with your brother a couple times. And he goes, well, that's okay. Just go ahead and do it. And I said, all right. I called his brother. He goes, yeah, you can stay here. He thought it was going to be like a week. So that was March. And I'm still here. So it's been amazing. We've become best friends. He's an incredible human being. I've been very lucky, very blessed. We did have one awkward moment. I usually wake up after him. And so he does all his stuff and leaves. And then I wake up and I walk out. And I had to run out in my underwear because I had to go to the bathroom. He was still there. I didn't know he was still going to be there. So I'm in my tidy, not tidy white. He's tidy Superman. I call him Superman. You know, you don't have to imagine it. it was, they were tight underwear, right? And I'm running to the bathroom and he happens to be walking into the kitchen at the same time in his boxers. And we looked at each other. We're both like, oh, oh no, 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 no. And he goes, God, I got to see you in your tighties. And I go, hey, those are for girls. So that was my awkward moment. You know what? I'm going to keep talking. If I don't bring on my sidekick here for today, I hope you guys are having fun so far. Kevin Fitzgerald, welcome, Kevin. How you doing, buddy?
How are you?
Dude, how horrible was that opening? How bad was I? Give me the truth.
I liked it. I think you set the stage by saying you're going to make a lot of mistakes, and then you marched right in there and proved yourself to be a seer.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Good job kissing my ass. That's what a sidekick is supposed to do. Thank you so much for that. I really do appreciate that.
Leave you the room to grow.
Yes, thank you, sir. Thank you. Now, Kevin, why don't you tell the audience about yourself?
I am a longtime stand-up comedy writer. I know Danny through comedy, also for a long time. I'm fat. I like pizza.
You like pizza. That's your bio?
That really is my bio. And I think if you asked pizza who likes it the most, it would say me.
You know what? I don't know pizza that well, but you know, I'm gonna trust you on that. And I know you know pizza way better than I do. So I'm gonna trust you on that. So we met doing stand-up, right?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
We met through
Bill Blank, his actual name.
Oh, he goes by Bill Blank now.
Yes, yes. He
okay.
There was confusion.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, totally. I can imagine.
So,
I mean, I know Bill Burr too, but he called himself Bill Burr or Billy Burr.
Billy Burr.
Okay. And anyway, so
Bill Blank.
Did you do that gig with me in Iowa?
No, I did not. I was actually out of town, but I came back into town while you were there.
Okay. Okay. Is that was hell, that gig actually. It was on a hill. It was on a hill outside, and there were people. The whole town was basically lined up. Kids, babies, adults, everybody was lined up. Old people who couldn't even hear anything, all lined up. And then they had the cheerleaders from the high school do this big, sexy dance and stuff, which I thought was inappropriate, just so you know. But where did we do comedy together first?
I believe in Manhattan.
Which club?
I think it was the Stand Up New York, if I'm not mistaken.
Stand Up New York on 78th Street and Broadway.
Yes.
That was a good club. Who was running the show? Do you remember?
I don't.
Well, you're a sidekick. You're supposed to do your research, Kevin.
It was about 2002.
Was it that long ago?
I believe.
Damn.
We're close.
Damn. 18 years ago.
Yep.
Wow. How have you put up with me this long?
Well, by not,
that's my question.
By not seeing you for long stretches.
All right. So, you know, we're going to try to run the show like a real show, right? Like an actual talk show, right? So you got the strippers? Are they coming?
No, but I have
Kevin!
Quarantinis for everybody.
What's that?
A quarantini in every glass.
Quarantini. Explain the quarantini to me.
Quarantini is like a martini for people who haven't been out in a while and haven't been able to shop. So whatever liquor is available with an olive.
That's it. So that's, it could be rubbing alcohol.
If you're desperate enough, absolutely.
No, we're not condoning rubbing alcohol. Don't drink it. You'll go blind. It's not, and not like masturbating blind, like real blind. Okay. So don't do it. Don't.
Considering scarce rubbing alcohol was for a while, there was sanitizer. You missed your chance to sell it.
that's you know, now kids, if their mother walks in on them, they could be like, "No, mom, I'm sanitizing. I'm sanitizing. I'm not masturbating." Okay, all right, let's do this because guys, I'm hoping this is going to be a fun show. I've actually set up some segments. I've actually got segments. I seem so professional, and I apologize for that lounge lizard opening with those cheesy graphics, but you know, it's all I had at the time. I'm gonna get better on this. Okay, so here we go. Our first segment.
Incredibly bad ideas.
Okay, so the first segment is called Incredibly Bad Ideas. And I came up with this because I was looking online and I saw these incredibly bad ideas for products that people are actually trying to sell to people online. I'm gonna make this a regular segment because there was just too many things to, I'm just checking my, please don't message me during the show, guys. You're stressing me out. All right. Unless you're my producer, don't message me. Is that my producer? No, that's okay. That's okay, Stephanie. I love you. So this segment, let's just jump into it. Let's show you these incredibly ridiculous products. Number one, ketchup and mustard. These are condiments for your pets. Okay.
I'm working on Meow-nays.
What was that?
I'm working on Meow-nays.
Dude, Meow-nays. I like it.
That's next.
Who's going to buy this stuff? Probably the same people who walk their dogs but don't walk them. Put them in a baby carriage, right? They probably have the little tray for the food. They put the Mutzard on there and, you know, they get to, you know. I mean, what if I confuse it? What if I confuse those condiments for my mustard and ketchup? I mean, am I going to start getting fleas? You know what I mean? That's a terrible joke. But we had better jokes when we, you know, Kevin, notes, where are your notes?
You need to put a hydrant in the bathroom for you and the pets.
Yeah, I'll have to replace my toilet with a hydrant. There you go. I'll just walk in the bathroom. You'll have to take me on walks. Isn't that amazing how I blurred out when I stomped on the floor? Look at that. Oh, look at that. Oh, my God.
Nice.
That is kind of cool, actually.
Like Danny Zilla.
All right. So, that's just one. Here's another totally ridiculous product that they're actually selling online. Check this out. It is a thing to walk your goldfish. People are walking their goldfish. I'm all for loving your pet, but walking a goldfish? Are you kidding me? What if he gets in a fight with a cat? What if a dog pees on him? You can't just say, don't they only live like 10 minutes, goldfish? I mean, you got to buy that, and the goldfish dies. It's definitely going to outlast the goldfish, right? Kevin, what do you think about that?
I think you got to feed it to the cat.
You got to feed it to the cat?
That is correct. With a little mustard.
With a little Mutzard?
Yes.
Feed it to the cat with a little Mutzard. This blows my mind that people actually, if they're selling it, people must be buying it. Can you imagine someone walking their goldfish? I mean, does a goldfish even have the capacity to understand where he is? I don't think so.
Actually think the goldfish, you could walk in the stroller.
You could have the goldfish. Yeah, well, he wouldn't be able to breathe, Kevin. I don't know if you know about fish, but they need water to breathe. So I think that's that may, if you can try to sell it, but I don't think it's going to work out. All right, let's go on to the next one. The next one. Now, folks, I'm sorry to bring this up to you, but these are actual products. And especially at this time right now, I think this is kind of child abuse. I really do. It's a child mop. They actually have an outfit for a child that when they crawl across the floor, I hope you guys are hearing me. They can hear me when the picture's up, I hope. The child wears a mop, basically, on the front of his body. And so when he crawls, he gathers all the dust and germs on the baby. What a great idea. He can sweep up the COVID. What the hell? Who makes this? Kevin, what do you think?
Where's this going to go? You know, you have a child that you've used as a mop for 4 years. They go to preschool and somebody spills something. Your kid takes off full speed and does a header through the liquid. You're going to have some explaining to do.
Not only that, man, they're going to have some trauma when they get older. You know, you realize how sick they're going to be there when they're a baby. They're going to be sick constantly if they're mopping the floor with their body every all the time.
Either that or they're going to have the kind of immune system that they can't catch anything.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it'll build their immune system. All right, let's go on to the next one, which is also, in my opinion, child abuse. Electro smile. Okay. This is a device that parents attach. You ever have that child that just won't smile for pictures or won't smile when they meet new people? This electro smile, what it does is it shocks the baby. See, it's this 30 amp super shock. It's 30 amp super shock to slap a smile on their face. Look at that girl. She's crying right now. She's crying inside. She's crying inside. I mean, you got to smile at your grandmother. I mean, you're in church. You're talking to the priest. Smile. You know, they're up there doing the performance in front of the school, you know, the little school show or something. They start crying. I don't know. It's crazy, dude. Would you ever use that? You've got kids. Would you ever use it for your kids?
No, of course not. Because your kids, you do that to your kids, they're going to put you in a nursing home where they pan fry you.
Well, it's a guarantee. Yeah, I guarantee you. You give them that you put that on them, they're gonna put you in a nursing home. That's
absolutely
for sure.
A nursing home that treats the inmates like lobster.
Okay, we got one more here on the crazy, ridiculous, horrible ideas of products. This one, ladies, you're not gonna believe it. I actually think some married women may use this. Married women, it's hairy stockings. Okay, these are hairy stockings. Kevin, lean over so I can see you. Other way.
We'll get that down. My legs to see if they look like the stockings.
Hairy stockings, dude. What? Who? Why? I don't. Anybody? Does anybody know? You know what? I got to look at these comments, dude. I'm sorry. I got to keep looking at these comments here. Hold on. See, these people, I'm sorry. This is new, so I forgot. Electrocute. Oh, that's good. Electrocute for the electrocution one.
That is.
Kevin, write notes, dude. Write notes. What else we got? Poor lobsters. I don't know what that means. Man deterrent. Exactly. That's what I was talking about. These are definitely going to be a man deterrent. Man deterrent. Okay, this is you know who buys this? Husbands with hot wives. That's who buys this.
Teenage boys.
I just wanted to chime in and make sure you're good to go. Yes, I'm good to go. Isn't that crazy? These are actual products. These are actual products that people sell. Yeah. And people must buy them. They must buy them. I mean, I guess the hairy legs one, that could be like fraternity or sorority sisters or something. That's the only thing I can think of. I see no real use other than making sure men stay away from your wife. Or, you know what I mean?
Or Halloween. And they're not really hairy enough for a costume.
There you go. Or what do you call them? Hippie girls who don't really want to be a hippie. They don't really want to shave. They really want to shave their legs, but they still want to keep their hippie status. So they get, you know, their friends won't know. They'll just be like, no, I don't shave. No, look at it, I'm a hippie, just like you. That's what they're for. That's got to be it. If anybody else can think of reasons, please chime in. Shark Tank Rejects. Very good. Oh, that could be we could rename it Shark Tank Rejects. That's a good idea. Thank you, Greg. Greg, great idea. This is crazy. All right, so that was our segment there. We're going to have another segment, and we're going to have another guest. But so, Kevin, let's talk about comedy today. How has comedy changed during this whole thing?
Well, I think, like the show you did in Iowa, it moved outdoors where it doesn't belong. But you got to make do. You got to make do. Especially now. People need to laugh now more than ever.
Oh, absolutely they do. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Steve. Yeah. Steve just gave me a water. Steve is awesome.
Let's take a break.
I'll introduce you guys definitely at some point to him. After I drove across, I've been doing have you done an online comedy show yet?
I haven't. You know, I like that crowd. Sometimes I just interact with the crowd. So, you know, you walk the tightrope, and that's tough to do when you're entirely alone.
You can't really do, you know what? I'm forgetting a lot of stuff here. I got to throw this. I have something at the bottom that I got to put in that I forgot to do. Guys, this is a new show. So we're sponsored, but we're not totally, we're not making money yet. Let's put it that way. But if you see here, you know what? I was going to ticker tape it across the bottom, but let's just put it here. If you guys can, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. We are going to be doing more segments. I have Laura Hayden coming in next week. She's going to do insane facts. And any comedians who have ideas for segments, feel free to message me. If I like this ideas, I'll try to get you in. And it'll be a really fun way to keep the show fresh and new. On the bottom there, we have donations you could do to the Venmo account there. And that's the link. A lot of my friends are already on YouTube now. So anyway, sponsored, that's it. I did a few online shows. I did Ventura Comedy Club. Andy, I don't know if you know Andy, you probably don't because that's an LA place. But we did some shows with that. That was good. I got invited to do a drive-in. Have you heard about this?
I've seen that they're doing it. It's an interesting idea.
It's a weird idea, but it seems cool. I think what they do. So for you, those of you who don't know, comedians are looking for work. They're looking for ways to get up and perform for people. And one of the things they're doing is they are doing these drive-in shows. So there's a drive-in movie, but there's no movie. Instead, it's you standing up there by the screen. And I think they put a camera on you and then project you so that you can be seen by all the cars. Now, here's the problem. You can't hear people laugh. They're in their cars. So part of being a stand-up, part of being funny is the reaction from the crowd. You don't hear that reaction. It's hard. It's really hard because you don't hear the natural reaction. But what they're doing is if they think it's funny or they're laughing, they honk their horns. So that's just got to be a whole new level of crowd work. I don't know. You know what I mean? Hyundai, shut the hell up. You know, smart car. You want me to blow you off the road? You know what I mean? What do you do?
How do you know if that's an applause break or a laugh?
Right? What if they want you off the stage? What if you're sucking and they want you off the stage? What if they just lay on the horn? Or is that just they can't stop laughing? I mean, how do you tell? How do you know?
That was a nervous horn.
Huh?
That was a nervous horn. They weren't laughing. They were just frightened. A nervous horn.
Oh, I'm going to send you a microphone, dude. Seriously, you sound like you're under a muffin or something.
You know, between that and I did write a note. The note says, it's really going to change everything. You know, yeah, that's, you promised the people it's going to be next week. And the note says what it says.
Well, you know what? To be fair to you, I gave you 2 days notice. Literally 2 days notice. That's it. So, guys, applaud Kevin. 2 days notice, and he's still not funny.
No, but I heard the call.
Thank you, Kevin. Kevin. Kevin is one of my oldest friends. I love Kevin. He's amazing. God, we had some really fun times together, dude.
Yes, we have.
What shows have we done together? What were some memorable?
We've done a ton, including we spent the better part of maybe 6 or 7 months doing a lot of work with the one-man show, between putting it on, changing it a little bit. So, but I can remember, truthfully, all the comedy shows we've done and all the things we've done in the entertainment business, the thing I remember the most is some poor woman who was stuck between us on the subway and just couldn't hide the fact that she was laughing.
Do you remember? Oh, wait, are you talking about is that where we were shooting?
No, we were running around between shows. We were going between a lot of different places. And at one point, we just took the subway between two shows, and it was crowded, and we had to stand up. And we basically had a woman, like, wedged in between us in the corner of the door. And we were talking, and the woman, I mean, the poor woman was trapped between us. But we were having a good time, and she was laughing. So later on, I included her in the conversation, and you were joking with me that she's not listening. And I was joking with you that she had no choice.
Oh, right, right. I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. And we were just riffing, dude. That was awesome.
Yes, but it was just fun.
There's nothing like making a crowd on the subway laugh by mistake. You know what I mean? It's just nothing like it.
It's a captive but rewarding audience.
You know what? You mentioned the one-man show. I wanted to thank you for that. You were the first person, I think, to jump on board and just help me with it. I was doing a one-man show called How Not to Act, and I was playing 11 different characters, full costumes. And then after you, we had Hiawatha. He jumped on board. God rest his soul. You know what? Let's just do a little thank you to Hiawatha. He was an amazing comedian, an amazing friend. He helped with the show. He was psyched about the show. There was no ego about, like, he wasn't in it. It was a one-man show, you know what I mean? But he was all excited, and you were too, and you guys were great. But Hiawatha, we lost him how many years ago now?
Probably about 8 or 9. It's a long time.
There's a crazy, crazy thing. He drowned in a lake.
He did. And Hiawatha, when I first heard of Hiawatha, he was a football player at Iowa State and very talented, but he got hurt.
Yeah.
And while he got hurt, he started doing comedy. And he was. He was always a happy, funny, in a good mood, and a helpful guy.
He was one of the sweetest guys I've ever met. He was so funny, dude. He would do everything he could to make me feel uncomfortable. Anyway, thanks to him. And let's do another segment. What do you say?
I like it.
All right, we're going to do another segment, folks. This segment, which I don't remember because I've been working right up till last second. We'll just see what it is. Here we go.
And now. For deep fake quotes.
Ah, yes. Deep fake quotes. You know, it's funny because deep fake came from somewhere else. We won't go into that. But these are, it's meant to be intelligent deep. And what I've done is I've compiled a list of quotes that you may not have heard these celebrities say. You know, you hear all the good quotes, all the cool quotes, all the amazing quotes from people, but you don't always hear the bad quotes, the quotes that just don't make sense, or, you know, let's just start. Okay. For example, Taylor Swift, she's constantly tweeting, these tweets, these motivational quotes constantly. I don't ask me how I know. I just know. Okay. All right, I signed up for a second just to see what it was about. And then it was just deluged with motivational crap, and I couldn't take it. Anyway, so here's a little-known quote from Taylor Swift. I'm going to put it at the bottom where the Venmo thing is right now. And let's take a look at what Taylor Swift said. It's a special feeling when you find that one person who's willing to overlook all your flaws for your money. There you go.
That's the
Taylor Swift. She's kind of at that point now, right? I mean, how do you trust anybody? How do you trust anybody? It's really special when you find that one person, right?
And in her case, there's the lingering threat of having everybody singing about you in a catchy little ditty she put out on record about you.
Right. Yeah, you know, if you go out with her, she's going to write a horrible song about all the things you do.
That's why you can never break up with her. You have to stay, no matter what.
Yeah, Kevin was stalking her for 3 years.
I still am.
There you go. Okay, now she had a run-in with another famous celebrity that's personally, I think he's a little egotistical, Kanye West. Although I think if everybody in the world treated each other and loved each other as much as Kanye loves himself, the world would be an amazing place. Okay? But Kanye West, we have a quote from Kanye West here. Let's see what that one is. Here we go. Kanye West. The problem with breaking wind is once it's broken, there's no way to fix it. That man is a genius. He's right. He is a genius. It's true. You have anything to say about that, Kevin? You had 2 days to write a joke, Kevin. 2 days.
You just step aside and let it be great. He actually, that's the only thing. Breaking wind is the only thing that he will let Taylor Swift finish.
I'm not even going there. This is not going to be a dirty show, Kevin. We're not talking about anal on the show, okay? No. Although you can see it with Kim Kardashian on Pornhub. Let's just go on. We also, Kevin, it's your fault for not writing a joke.
But I made a note to make them funny next week.
All right. So we also have, now Kanye got very religious, right? He started to try to create a church or something, right?
I think was that's he, something that's called a tax deduction.
Oh, yeah, right. But he found religion, supposedly, and he was trying to start this religious thing. And I wonder if he was a fan of Reverend Billy Graham, who just passed on. Because Reverend Billy Graham said a lot of stuff, a lot of horrible stuff and a lot of crazy stuff. But this to me is this makes sense that he was a fan of Reverend Billy Graham, because his quote, Kanye West, was the problem with breaking wind. And Billy Graham's quote was, is it just me or is a fart even more gross when it comes from someone you don't like? That's absolutely true. That's a very true statement. Yeah, you ever been at the office and you're waiting for the bathroom, right? And that one person in the office that you can't stand comes out and you smell and you're like, oh, it's so much worse. Ah, it's horrible. Right? Whereas if it's a cute girl, you're like, it's pretty stinky. You're good. It's cute. You know, right? But if it's someone you don't like, you're like, oh God, ah, the molecules from his anus are up my nose. Ah, I never wanted to be this close. Never. It was an accident. I didn't know he was coming out. Right?
I think if you're on the fence about somebody too, that's going to push you the other way.
Absolutely. You're like, you know, I wasn't sure I like you. Now I know I don't like you at all.
Not only do I not like
because
you,
that stuff coming out of your ass is horrendous. I know I don't agree with what you eat. Oh my God. All right, Kevin, you did your job on that one. Awesome. So these are, we got a few more quotes here. Honey Boo Boo, speaking of trash, I'm kidding. No, I'm not. I don't know. What do you guys think? I think that's ridiculous. Honey Boo Boo. I mean, you have these kids on there. Is she the kid or is she the mom?
I believe she's the kid.
She's the kid that acts like the mom.
She runs
her mom's life. Is that what it is?
I think everything but the
drink. Or does the mom beat her?
I know. I think the kid runs most of the normal household stuff. I think when the mama does a drug deal, she does that on her own.
Drug deal. Nice. Well, then this quote definitely makes sense from Honey Boo Boo. Nothing tells a woman he's a catch like a Bass Pro Shop hat. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense now. Yeah. Have you watched the show? Have you seen it at all?
I haven't. But at the grocery store, when you wait to pay, you do still see some snippets.
Okay. All right. I don't know what that means in reality. Show talk, snippets.
Okay.
All right. We got a couple more here. Let's go through these quick, please. We do have a guest that I'm going to bring on in a second, a filmmaker, Jason Hawkins. We can bring him on in a second. He's playing Minecraft, waiting for us to let him in. So this is the next quote. This is from someone who's been in the news quite a lot recently, Will Smith. Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, they've been in the news a lot. Let's see what this quote is. A buddy posted a pic of a TV dinner and said, I used to have money. So I posted a pic of my hand and said, yeah, I used to have a wife. Great quote. Great quote.
It is a great quote.
Picture of his hand. Back to masturbation. Kevin, why aren't you writing more? Seriously. Seriously.
I was going to do a gold digger.
Let's raise the level a little bit. Let's be a little more enlightened. Okay. All right. I'm going to blame all the bad jokes on you, just so you know. Okay. Next person. This is someone who's helped a lot of people, a lot of people. Oprah Winfrey, who's had, weight swings back and forth, but she's been a wonderful woman. She says, if blowing your nose sounds like a dying walrus, do it in the bathroom, not in front of me while I'm eating tuna. Okay. That's a very graphic post. And yeah, I can imagine with the mayonnaise, you don't want to, you don't want people blowing their nose right in front of you. Let's go back to the old school. We're going to the great minds of on earth. Sophocles. Feet don't stink, people stink feet up. Yeah, that was definitely one of his worst quotes. I can see why that didn't make it into the history books. Let's see, we got Gandhi here. Gandhi, who is a peaceful person who's done a lot of wonderful things. He taught people how to protest in peace. And let's see what he says. I firmly believe that all flies are reincarnated assholes. Yes. I mean, I can see even Gandhi's got to get pissed at a fly. You know what I mean?
He gets the aggression out on the flies at home. He names them after his enemies, and he goes out and he acts peaceful.
There you go. I mean, imagine him sitting there. And he's about to eat his burger, and a fly lands on it. He's like, I don't believe it. The fly was just standing on a piece of shit. Now he's on my burger. I wanted to kill him.
Neville Chamberlain, you take this.
That was a horrible accent. I should do a boo for The Simpsons. Okay, next, let's keep moving. The Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama. He's an enlightened. He's supposedly the most enlightened person on the planet, right?
He's a spiritual
most enlightened person on the planet. What does he say? Money and an accent make gross people hot. Wow, that is shallow. Very shallow coming from the Dalai Lama. And the last one, finally, Stephen Hawking. Apparently, it's inappropriate to ask a father for his daughter's hand in sex. He had a lot of time to think about that.
Maybe that's where Will Smith's hand went.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Maybe Will Smith. Maybe that was where Jada was. Okay, let's not do that. I don't want to do that. That's horrible. I love both of them. Okay, guys. That was our segment. And now we're going to bring on our headliner guest. Are you guys ready for this? Woo! Okay, here we go. Jason, I see you ready. I can see you ready. Kevin, keep your mouth shut. Okay, Jason, here you go. Jason, up, welcome.
Hey.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm just I'm getting my ass kicked by some mobs in Minecraft right now, but you know.
Ah, I told you he's playing Minecraft. I told you.
Yeah. Yeah, the kid got me hooked. So hanging out here.
How old is your kid?
Six.
Six. Okay. I'm going to be honest with you. I did not read your bio because you sent it to me like a half hour ago. And I was still trying to do all the technical stuff here.
Well, I can hit the highlights for you. I'm a circus freak.
Okay.
I went to circus when I was 13.
Wait, hold on. Slow down. You went into the circus when you were 13 years old. First of all, introduce yourself. What do you do now?
So primarily, primarily a filmmaker. I write, direct. I also do some game design, things like that. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Awesome. What films do you have out?
If you have Netflix, check out the original series Haunted, based on some true life experiences I had when I was a kid. So, Netflix called me up. I didn't know it was Netflix, right? So they called me up, a friend of mine. So let me backtrack. I got an ad on Facebook, right? A friend of mine tags me. He's like, oh, dude, this totally sounds like you. Check it out. It was a Facebook ad, and Facebook ad was like, you know, have you been raped by a werewolf? Do you believe in aliens?
I mean, raped by a werewolf?
Okay, maybe it didn't say raped by a werewolf, but in my mind, it said raped by a werewolf.
That's going to be awful.
Like, they've got all this stuff like about, you know, have you been attacked by aliens? And as a joke, I called the number just to, because why wouldn't you call the number? You know, so I called him up. And They called me
raped. Yes, I was raped by a werewolf.
Yeah, hey, is
this actually stockings to recreate it?
Right? So I called him up. They called me right back, like 2 minutes later. I do like 10 interviews, spend, I don't know, 12 hours on the phone. And they're like, has anybody told you what's going on? I'm like, man, I don't know shit. Nobody's told me anything. I'm just, you know, over here waiting for the werewolf. Like, I got my hairy leg stockings on and I'm ready.
That's awesome. Now you can use those for your movie.
Right?
I didn't even think of that. You could use them for a werewolf movie.
I totally, totally would. Transformation. they called me up, set me up. Next thing I know, I'm on Netflix doing a show. So
that's insane.
It was pretty insane.
Now, I'm still a little unclear. So they had a ad out. You called them up. You said you were what? What did you say to them to get them interested in you?
So they asked if I ever had any supernatural experiences. And I lived in a haunted house when I was a kid. And, you know, I generally describe myself as a skeptic. I think 99% of that stuff is just crap. But I do believe there are things out there in the world that we don't have an explanation for. You know, like Kim Kardashian's popularity.
Like my ex-girlfriend stabbing me. Yeah.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. I mean, and I've only talked to you for like 5 minutes. But, I mean, I understand why she stabbed you. So. Yeah. But
keep going.
Primarily what I do is I write and direct, but I worked as a body collector for a while, scraping corpses off the pavement. That job's hilarious.
Wait a minute. What is that?
So body collector. It's nothing like TV, right? TV, an ambulance pulls up and everything's, you know, smooth and organized. In reality, it's a couple of dudes with no job who wear a pager who show up in a van to pick you up. And, you know, so we drive around in a van and wait for people to die. And then your pager goes off and they're like, hey, here's the address for a corpse. Go get it. You zip over, you pick, you cut them out of trees, you scrape them out of cars. Pull them out of rivers, whatever. But the job's funny, you know. You start developing a pretty sick sense of humor pretty quick. And
that's incredible. Now, what resume did you give them to get that job?
So at the time I was in college, right, going to school, waiting tables, you know, trying to get by. And these guys used to come in and line up at the counter, and like vultures, they'd come in and just lay out their pagers and wait. Like, what are you guys waiting on? They're like, oh, every time a pager beeps, an angel gets his wings. I was like, wait, what?
Oh, man.
the guy's like, yeah, you want to go? You want to do a ride-along? And I'm like, man, I don't want a ride-along. I want a job. You want to check this out and see what the hell's going on? And I get out there, and it's pretty dark. You know, it's pretty morbid. But you have fun. Like, you have fun, too. We got a call one night and we drive out.
You kind of have to, right?
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, otherwise you'll go nuts. I mean, you know, I joke about it, but in reality, it's pretty messed up job.
I can imagine how devastating it can feel sometimes to have to actually, you know, I saw about that, that one kid who was, speeding in LA hit the barrels, but he was going way too fast. And half of his body landed on that sign above the highway.
Right.
And it's on YouTube. Yeah. But go ahead. Sorry.
No, so we got calls like that. I got a call one time. So we drive out to this house, knock on the door, little old lady answers, and you know, we're standing there with body bags and our little suits on, and she's like, "Yes, yeah, we're here to pick up the body in your back room." And all the color, man, just dropped out of her. She's the body in the back room. We're like,
So she didn't even know there was a body in her back room.
So we're like, yeah, there's a rotting corpse in your bedroom. There it is. Like, yeah. And she's
I'm laughing.
Well, she's getting ready to drop over, right? So I'm thinking we're going to get 2 for 1. And all of a sudden it dawns on me, we're at the wrong fucking house. Like, we're not even at the right house. And this poor gal, man, she's, you know, now she's shaking. She's done it. I go, you know what? We'll come back later. Around midnight, good for you. And she's just,
we'll come back later.
Yeah. And we didn't say a word, man. We just turned around and walked off. We're like, all right. And that's it. We're out. So
bring out your dead.
Yeah. So you get some gallows humor in there, right? You get some pretty dark stuff going on, but you got to laugh.
Did you go back?
Did I go back? Oh, no, we left her wondering. We didn't explain.
Oh, man, you are horrible. That's a horrible thing to do to an old lady.
No, hey, you know, you get paid by the body, right? So you do that job.
So you get paid. You try to add a couple extra, you know, if you can, give a little heart attack to an old lady.
I'm just saying, you got rent to pay. You got paid. You can do what you got to do.
There's a commission. Is there a quota?
So
do you have a quota? Well, I mean, you didn't meet your quota on Friday. You didn't come on, Jason. You're supposed to have 20 bodies by Friday,
right?
Go kill someone.
You know, so you get paid by the body, $10 a body, no joke, $10 a body.
That's it.
So that's it. $10 a body. So deep down, you're kind of like hoping a school bus gets hit by a train or something, you know, and then you start thinking, well, that's pretty fucked up. At the same time, you got bills to pay. So
did you sell the organs or what?
I can't tell you that. Come on. I don't want to go to jail, man. But yeah, so just a really sick job, but also a lot of funny stuff happened. I mean, some ridiculous funny stuff happened. And
You got one more, or you want to jump? I want to get into your film work, but I also want to talk about the circus.
Yeah, fire away.
How old were you when you joined the circus?
13.
So you joined the circus and then you collected bodies. That makes a lot of sense. You were how old? 13?
13, yeah.
You ran away, right? You said you ran away?
Yeah, I ran away. A traveling circus and stayed with them for about 2 years.
And what did you do for them?
Well, a number of things, but the primary thing was being a fake child psychic.
Really?
They teach you how to do cold reads and how to do spiritual readings and stuff like that. And, you know, it's all bullshit, but they teach you how to be a fake psychic and how to do all that. And yeah, it's a gig.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it is entertainment. Okay, so then after that, how old were you when you got out of the circus?
I was like 15, 16 maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, and I went to like 11 different high schools by my junior year. I mean, it was just kind of
11?
Yeah, it was a mess. So I dropped out of high school and went to college instead. So I was in college at 16 and just kind of living the life, you know, getting out there and doing things and cruising around and just living life.
Now, do you think that leaving the home at such a young age caused you to become that self-sufficient entrepreneur kind of person that you are today? Do you think that was one of the reasons that that happened?
Yeah, there's something to that, because you learn, you kind of learn to depend on yourself. And you also kind of learn what your limits are and what they're not. You know, you only got to sleep on the cement outside a few times to figure out that you can survive some pretty tough shit. So
yeah,
it toughens you up a little bit. You know, you get out there, you explore the world. Now when I want to do something, I just do it. I'm like, oh, this is what I'm doing.
That's awesome.
Try it out. Awesome. So
how did you get in the, now tell us how you got in the film.
So yeah, kind of a funny story. My background's fiction and game design. So I've always been writing and creating and doing creative endeavors, and driving back from LA with a friend of mine. And I had this kind of story idea, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make a movie, like a feature length movie. And he looks over at me and he's like, you ever made a movie? And, you know, famous last words, I looked at him and I said, no, seriously, like, how hard can it be? So, yeah. So $40,000 and 6 months later, I have nothing to show for my life. And I'm like, all right, this is hard. So I taught myself.
Was that all on credit cards?
It's out of pocket, just out of pocket. I was traveling around playing cards at the time and hustling poker, and I just put the money up.
You were hustling poker too. That's amazing.
Yeah, I did that for close to 10 years.
Wow. All right. So you had that first film that didn't work out.
Right.
What happened from there?
First thing I did was realize I'm an idiot and that it's actually hard. Yeah, you know, like all of a sudden you go, I can do this. And then you're broke and you're like, I can't do this.
Right.
So I went back, made some short films and kind of looked at what, you know, I treated that like film school. It's like, all right, here's all this money gone, all this time, but I've got the hands-on experience now. Like nothing replaces doing. You know what I mean? It's like, right. I can tell you how to make a movie, but until you get out there and do it, you don't know.
Right.
Until things start going wrong and you got to figure out how to fix it on the spot, you really don't know. So yeah, I made some short films.
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, I made some short films and I said, I'm going to take another crack at a feature. Approached Adrian King from Friday the 13th, final girl from Friday the 13th, and say, you want to come be in my movie? And she very politely went, Yeah. Okay. But
I get that all the time from women.
Right. I gave her, you're right. but I gave her a script. She came on and did it. We sold it to Redbox. It was a big hit. Won the festival awards and stuff like that, made some money, and then just kind of made another one and another one, and still learning and still just kind of growing and getting up there. And recently just got a 3-film deal with the folks behind the Clown Motel franchise. So we're going to be doing, good times.
So Clown Motel, that was, you want to tell us about that? That's the one you just did?
No, so that's a Joe Kelly film. I'm working with those guys. My next film I'm working with those guys on. The film so I just did. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you've always been in a horror, so you just, you love horror. So this, you never wanted to venture out of horror? You just always wanted to?
The funny thing is I got my start in comedy.
Really?
I got my start in comedy, doing comedy films and comedy sketches.
You should teach Kevin.
Right?
He was 9 at the time. It was prior to the circus.
I'm going to write a joke here. It says, make jokes funny.
There you go. So you started out doing comedy films.
Yeah. Just kind of, I mean, morbidly funny, right? Because that's kind of where I lean. Dark, funny stuff. And then horror is just a good decision, both for business and for creativity. You know, people will get into a low budget horror film, but they won't get into a low budget drama. You know what I mean? Like your audience is already there with horror. You don't have to preach the audience.
Is that still the case right now, you think?
Totally. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I know that if you make a horror film for a low enough budget and you have a distributor, you're pretty much guaranteed to make your money back, even if it's a shit film. That's what I heard. No? If it's a creature feature, I was told by this guy. I don't know. What do I know?
I just want a lawsuit against the distributor.
How hard could it be?
Right. How hard could it be? Yeah. Sure.
I've heard. Yeah. Tell us about distributors, because I know a lot of these people are filmmakers. Tell us about distributors. Let's hear about that.
So, you know, the distribution model changed, right? It used to be make a small budget film, sell it to Hollywood Video, Blockbuster, get your VHSs out there, get your DVDs out there, sell it in Walmart, and you make good money. You know, as we know, that business model just doesn't exist anymore. Now you're competing with 5,000 streaming platforms, all of them loaded with content. So the distribution model has changed, and a lot of these distributors never evolved. I've been ripped off twice from distributors, and I just recently won a lawsuit against one of them, and I'm getting ready to drag the other one down. But these guys know that you can't afford to fight them in court for $20,000, $30,000. So they just don't pay you. They just don't pay you. They take your money. You drag them to court. You drag them to court, or you make a film that's quality enough you can jump up a little bit. You know what I mean? The higher quality distributors, of course, have a reputation in business. They're going to take care of you. They're going to want to make sure you're paid because their reputation's on the line.
Right.
But when you're starting out, you know, I made a film. I'm going to go to you and be like, I made a film. You're like, who's in it? Nobody. What's it about? Oh, just some shit we shot in my backyard.
But it's great.
Yeah, it's great.
It's awesome. My grandma loves it. She almost died. She almost had a heart attack. Right? Some guy came to the door right before and said he's looking for a body, but there was no body.
That's a movie, man. That's a movie in itself right there. But so you got to just move up the food chain. You know, like anything, you got to start low, pay your dues, move up the food chain until you're making some money.
Right. So what are you excited about now? What are you working on now? Let's hear about that.
So we've got a film shooting next month called The Bleeding Dark. It's got Eileen Dietz from The Exorcist in it. Denton Everett, who's done a bunch of TV shows, whatnot. They're coming out. They're in it. It's about grief and trauma and how it kind of separates people and then what grows in that empty space in between us. You know, in the film, a father and son and the mom are ambushed in a home invasion. The mom gets killed. And the father and son have just kind of separated. They don't have this ability to communicate anymore. They've lost, you know, they've lost a key part of what made them a family unit. And this kind of darkness grows up in that space and it starts destroying things.
And bleeding dark.
Yeah, I don't want to say too much more because spoilers. But.
Right. Awesome. You know, I wish we had more time. But this is supposed to be an hour. But what I do want to do is we have one last segment that you are involved with right here.
Nice.
I'm sorry to spring this on you, but check this out. You ready?
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
You must answer one of three awkward questions.
Wow.
Okay, you got a choice. Three awkward questions.
Wow.
Kevin, you can talk now while he's trying to decide.
I kind of want to do the awkward sexual experience one, but I kind of don't.
you pick the question, whatever one you want to answer.
Boy.
I'm so glad I sprung this on you.
There's so many.
Let's do this. Since it's a comedy talk show, pick the funniest one.
Wow. damn, that's hard, man. That's a hard spot. I think
Kevin,
this is my most embarrassing experience.
Oh, great. There you go. Okay. Thanks for meeting there, boss. here's kind of a funny, awkward sexual experience. I'm a teenager, right? And I had these prop corpses that we had built for a haunt, and they're pretty realistic looking. Uh-oh. Being a smart ass that I am, I sneak that sucker into bed, pull the covers up, and then unscrew all the lights in the house. You know, so it's pitch black in the house.
Oh my God.
The girl I'm seeing comes in. I'm like, yeah, just meet me upstairs. And then I go hide in the closet and wait. She comes in. I can see through the closet. She's getting undressed, right? She slides in bed, rolls over, out with her hand. And then there's this long hissing pause that goes for about 30 seconds. I'm like, I don't know if she's breathing. The scream, the neighbors came to see what the screaming was about. Make a girl run downstairs, you know, me running after her with the corpse. They're having a good time.
So you didn't want to date this girl, is what you're saying.
I kind of thought she would find it funny, but I guess
you wanted to trade her in.
I don't think she probably did.
Yeah, I think the only person who thought it was funny was me. So that's what my son says. My son tells my wife, you know, Daddy only tells jokes he thinks are funny.
There you go. It's just like Kevin. Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. So we're finishing up the show here. Jason, what do you want people to what do you want people to know? Where can they reach you? Where can they see you?
Man, easiest way to find me is on Facebook. As much as I hate Facebook, that's kind of the spot to find me. A lot of film stuff going out there. You can catch my films all over the place. Amazon, Redbox, iTunes, you know, Walmart, et cetera, et cetera. Check them out. We got a lot of stuff coming. We're super busy. Check Clown Motel when it comes out. I think it's coming out early next year, mid next year. Catch that. And then The Bleeding Dark will hit probably in the summer.
Beautiful. And what's the one on Netflix so people can – The Haunted?
Haunted. It's a feel-good romantic comedy. Haunted?
Okay. Haunted, the series. I think I've seen that. I haven't seen the series, but I mean I've seen it on there.
Yeah, it's awesome. A romantic comedy.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. All right. Beautiful. Romantic comedy with bodies, with body parts. That's how they fall in love. They're both body hunters.
Right, exactly. There's a story in there somewhere, I'm sure.
They're both collecting spleens.
Yeah. Gotta pay their bills.
All right, well, listen, Jason, thank you so much. I next time, this is the first show. I want to have more time with you on here. Let's have you back again. Kevin, lovely. You're fired. Thank you guys for...
Kevin's like,
thank you guys. Thank you guys.
All right,
guys, the donation thing. Thank you, buddy. The donation thing's there. The YouTube's there. Remember to check him out. Jason Hawkins and Kevin Fitzgerald. Great friend, and he's fired. Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
Good night. It's the Dennis Show.